I will be continuing the God Rescue Me series, and this is part three for the sermon today. And the main text is from Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 to 16. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 to 16. And it says this, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin." And because he is a gracious God, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. And the church said, amen. Part one was God rescues me from myself, and part two, God rescues me from bitterness. And today, I want to talk about God rescues me from my addiction, okay? You know, I need to first acknowledge that I am not an expert or an authority on addiction. I'm not speaking for any group that deals with or treat addiction. And, I'm mostly speaking from the research that I personally did and from my personal experience and from people that I've been counseling and have counseled that struggle with addiction. And, the American Society of Addiction, they have a definition. It says it's a medical disease involving complex interaction among brain circuit, genetics, the environment, and individual life experience. People with addiction use substance or engage in behavior that become compulsive and often continue despite harmful consequences. And so, I agree. It's a very complex. Addiction is very complex. It is biological, chemical that's going on in your brain. It's emotional. It's mental, it's relational, it's life experience. It's about past brokenness. It's about past woundedness. It's about shame. It's also very, very spiritual. It's very spiritual. The reason I want to talk about addiction is because no time in human history, there's so much where people are bombarded, by stuff that's designed to hook you, to get you addicted. There are illicit drugs, alcohol, there's gambling. But today I want to talk about other common addiction that needs to be addressed. I want to address about social media. About online games and video games and smartphone. The social platform and the phone companies, the phone makers, spend millions of dollars in research to hook you. Did you know that? And it's working. 80% of Americans, 80% of people in this church can't get out of bed without checking your phone. Once you wake up, you get your phone, you check your phone, and then you get out of bed. That's 80% of you here, 80%. Facebook, I know young people, they don't use Facebook anymore, but there's 1 billion people who are active on Facebook alone. Just Facebook, 1 billion people. There's 250 million people in America, I believe, now. But 1 billion people are active on Facebook. And on average, they spend 1 hour each day. That's just Facebook. Okay, that's just Facebook. But then, there's YouTube. How many hours do you spend on YouTube? There's WhatsApp, there's Twitter, there's LinkedIn, Skype, WeChat, Tumblr, Kakao, is that how you pronounce Kakao, right? And, high school, Instagram, and Snapchat, okay? You know, how many hours do we spend on those things? iPhone. Do you know iPhone was first released, okay, 12 years ago? It wasn't 30 or 50. It seems like we always had it. But the first smartphone was released 12 years ago when Trinity was born. When Trinity was born, 12 years ago. And so it's not that long ago. It's not that long ago. And it's been very short time, but it has is influencing all of us. Right? And we don't know we don't really fully understand the effect of it yet. Google, you know, when they first started, their motto was don't be evil. Did you know that? That was their motto. They took that out. You know why? Because they're harvesting everything that you're doing on the internet, and they're selling it to the advertiser. They know everything that you're doing. It's not private anymore. You signed, you said okay. You agreed. You agreed to everything that you do on Google, internet, where you go, where you visit, okay, what you search, everything, your location, everything that you're doing, they have it. And they're selling that information, that private information, to advertisers and making money off of you. That's why they took that motto out. Don't be evil. Why? Because they're being evil. Okay? They're being evil. People are getting addicted to social media, online video game, fantasy, whatever, and smartphone. And now recent studies have shown that it is causing anxiety, depression. You know, teen girls' depression has gone up tremendously in the last 10 years after smartphone. After smartphone. Online video games and smartphone. There's depression, loneliness, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder has increased, and we're finding out smartphone is addictive. In South Korea, where it has the highest ownership of smartphone in the world, they say about 45% of teens are addicted to smartphone there. So many teens are addicted to the smartphone that there's a need for a detox camp where you get to detox, not from cocaine or meth, to detox from smartphone. They have camps in South Korea to have teens detox from smartphone. Not only smartphone and social media and online gaming, food, has become addictive. Okay, food has become addictive. Today, food is specifically being manufactured to be addictive. Scientists are using MRI machines while testing subjects eating their product, so that they could see what's going on in your brain, the different synapses and different neurotransmitters, triggering, and they're tweaking the ingredients so that it will be more habit forming. Okay. 74% of the food that you buy, 74% of the food that you buy in the grocery store have added sugar. Okay? It's added sugar. You bought that yogurt, that child yogurt for your child, right? Because it says low fat, right? But they make it taste better and hook your child by adding sugar to it. Lots of sugar. Okay? The reason your child wants not the regular yogurt, but that children brand yogurt, it isn't because it's healthy, it's because your child might be addicted to sugar. Okay? Why? Sugar is just as addictive as cocaine. Right? Yeah. When you go, sugar, your child might be addicted and going through withdrawal symptoms. There's a tremendous problem right now with prescription drugs, not just illicit drugs, but prescription drugs. I wouldn't say that, I never said this 10 years ago, but now I'm saying it. Just because a doctor prescribes a pill doesn't mean that it is safe. I was a pharmacy major. I never thought it would come to this day. Just because a doctor prescribes a pill, it doesn't mean that it is safe. The opioid pain relievers like, OxyContin, codeine, and Demerol, and there's fentanyl, synthetic, opioids. Despite what the pharmaceutical, I call them some of them, especially one, despite what the pharmaceutical cartel, I call them the cartel, told the medical community in the late 1990s, we all know now that opioid pain reliever is highly, highly addictive. In 2017, more than 47,000 Americans died as a result of opioid overdose from prescribed and illegal opioids. But in that year, 1.7 million people in the U.S. suffer from substance use disorder related with prescription opioids and pain relievers. Okay? 1.7 million. Okay? We also have tranquilizers like Valium. Misuse of this drug causes paranoia, and hallucination. Right? The withdrawal symptoms are similar to illicit drugs. It's addictive because you look at the withdrawal when they're not taking it. What kind of withdrawal symptoms they go through? There's drug craving, anxiety, panic, excessive sweating, headache, trouble sleeping, muscle pain, nausea. Also, stimulants, our kids are getting addicted to stimulants now. It's called Adderall and Ritalin. When I was in high school, Adderall was called speed. And the only way I was able to get it was through my drug dealer friend. Okay? I got speed. That's how I got it in high school. And Adderall has similar effect to meth. It has that similar effect. And we need to really be wise and pray, because this is now Adderall is being prescribed to children while their brain is being developed. It's being prescribed heavily to children now. Adderall is addictive. I was addicted to speed. It is addictive. Over time, people develop a tolerance and are unable to function normally without it. And now you're starting to see kids who took Adderall in high school, in college, they can't function without it anymore. You professionals now, you don't know. You don't know, but if you ask your colleague, especially if you're in the law, if you're a lawyer, so many are on Adderall, but you don't know it. They're addicted to it. We also, in this time, there's sex addiction. That wasn't even mentioned when I was growing up, and porn addiction. I believe sex addiction is one bondage the devil is using to keep a whole generation in bondage. Think about porn addiction. Kids are watching porn at 11 now. When I was 11, I couldn't get porn. No matter how hard I tried, I couldn't get porn. Only porn that we could get was Chicago Tribune, maybe the lingerie ads or something like that. That's the only porn that I was able to get when I was growing up. And now it's just two push of a button, and you'll get it. Okay? And now, you know, we're starting to see the effect of porn addiction, because now, you know, kids start, it's so, you know, 12 years ago, you know, 11 years ago, once the smartphone came out and the internet, and we're starting to see the effect of it as this internet generation is getting older and older. More and more young people are becoming addicted to porn, not just men, but also women. Okay? That was not, it was unheard of when I was growing up. But it's men and women now. And over time, what happens is when you're addicted to porn, normal porn doesn't get you excited anymore. And so young people are starting to look at extreme and shocking porn to just feel something. Okay? That's addiction. That's addiction. When I took drugs when I was in high school, first time I would get high immediately, but after a while, I need more and more and more to get the same effect. Young people in their 20s, because of their porn addiction, okay, this is new studies that's coming out, people are not talking about it, but they're developing sexual problems with real people. They're becoming more socially awkward. They're losing confidence. They're becoming anxious in public, incapable of intimate relationship with the opposite sex. Porn addiction, like other addiction, encourage social isolation, low energy, low self-esteem, self-hatred, depression, lose of motivation to do anything. Okay? It's becoming one of the biggest bondage for the young generation right now. Now, you know, like I shared this before, there was a study, you know, on addiction, you know. What they used to do is they put rats, you know, in tiny isolated cage, not much room, all alone. And of course, in that environment, the rat will continuously drink the heroin-laced water. They would put regular water and heroin-laced water. They say, oh, anyone. So it means that anybody will just, if there's heroin, they'll take it. Okay. But there was another experiment. They created a rat resort, right, with rat community. You know, they all got along, you know. There was other rats there, lots of space. There's toys. There's plenty of food. And they had a choice. To drink the regular water or the morphine-laced water. Okay? All the rats would drink the plain water and avoid the morphine-laced water. So this experiment, what it showed is drug themselves does not cause addiction, but rather it was the isolation that caused the addiction. It was the loneliness that caused the addiction. It was the hopelessness that caused addiction. For human being, for us, you know, yes, those things cause addiction, but also this, our past wounding cause addiction. What do I mean by past wounding? The loss, you know, rejection that we experience, the abandonment, the neglect, the abuse, the betrayal. Okay? Those things cause addiction. Why? The wounding causes pain. Causes also, like rejection causes shame. Pain and shame. And where there is pain and where there is shame, we tend to run toward things that will bring temporary comfort. Okay? Something that will numb the pain and the shame. So we run toward drugs. We run toward porn. You know, sexual sin, food, video game, gambling. So today I want to talk about, you know, how to overcome addiction. And this is a challenge to our church. Number one, we need an accepting community. Okay, say that to your neighbor. Now, pain, where there's pain and shame, right? And Christian community is not supposed to do that. When there's, you know, where there's shame, we judge them, and we make them feel worse. In our home, we try to make them perform. That does not work. Right? Where there's pain and shame, what happens is our natural tendency is to run away, to hide, or to cover up. Right? Adam and Eve did the same. This is what they did. Adam and Eve felt naked, felt shame. So what did Adam and Eve do? Ran away, hide, and covered themselves with fig leaves. Okay? And we cover ourselves with drugs, things that addict us. And it's inadequate. It doesn't work. And so to overcome pain and shame, we need love. It's rejection that causes the shame. It's the abandonment that causes the shame. It's the neglect that causes the shame and pain. So we need to love. We need an accepting community, an accepting church. The reason, this, I believe one of the key reason the 12-step program works, I don't know how many of you ever went through the 12-step program. In my opinion, it's an effective program for addiction. But one of the key reasons it works, an addict could go to a group with their addiction, with all their fears, their bondage, their failures, and their weaknesses. And in that group, there's no judgment. There's no judgment. Can the church, can we do the same thing? Or is it the church that greatest fear that they will know my weakness, my shame, will be the greatest judgment? You'll get more rejected. We can't do that. We cannot do that in the church. We will not be able to help people with addiction. Okay? Shame keeps us in bondage. Okay? Real love heals. Hey, thank you. Okay? Real love heals. Real love, but real love is not, okay, you're smart, I love you. Oh, you went to a good school, I love you. You got A, I love you. Okay? You play that guitar well, I love you. That's not real love. That's performance. Okay? Love is based on performance. That's not love. Okay? Real love is shown not in perfection, but in failure. Okay? When everybody's doing well, it's hard to show real love. Real love is really shown in failure. When we failed, that's when we need it. Okay? In weakness, in our addiction. To overcome addiction is not through, you know why? It's not, you see, if you want to play guitar really well, you could practice my willpower, I could do it, you know. You could get that A, willpower, stay up all night and study and go to all the lecture. For some reason, addiction, willpower is not enough. Right? Willpower is not enough. Willpower is not alone is not enough. You need unconditional love. You need unconditional love. Amen? So let's try to figure this out. How can we be that community? You know, how can we be that community? You know, like some Christian community, man, I got to do 99 things right. I do that one thing wrong, forget it. You don't belong in this community anymore. That's not a Christian community. Okay? So we got to figure this out together, because this is where the world's, this is where we're going. This is where we are right now. Okay? Amen? Let's figure it out together. Say that to your neighbor. Let's figure it out together. The next thing is pretty hard for an addict, you know. But this is what you need to come to first. Yeah? You need to admit powerlessness. You need to admit powerlessness over the addiction. You need to admit this powerlessness. You know, a healthy person can usually identify a negative behavior and get rid of it. This is not the case with someone with addiction. Rather than admit that a problem exists, they will find a way to justify and continue the behavior. This is an addict. They will say, that alcohol, oh, I can manage it. Yeah. I can manage it. I can stop anytime. I can stop anytime. It's no big deal. It's no big deal. They cannot admit that they are powerless over their addiction. They can't admit it. That's why the 12-step program, they talk about powerlessness. Okay, what they say is you cannot indulge in your addiction successfully. You can't. You need to realize your addiction causes you to have a compulsion and an obsession. Okay? Something is happening inside that overtakes you. You become powerless with the object that addicts you. It's like, is it just whatever you're addicted to, right? You got to get to the point, you know, high school kids, you might say, smartphone, I can control it. I don't, you know, I can manage it. No, then you'll never overcome it. You're not going to overcome it. You gotta believe that whatever is addicting you, it's like going into the ring with Mike Tyson. Right? What happens if you go into the ring with Mike Tyson? You get beat up. Okay? But when an addict will stay in addiction when they think, next round. Okay? Next round, I'm going to win. I can win next round. Yeah, last one, yeah, I made some mistake, but next one, I could do it. Huh? How do you know you have an addiction? You ignore risk factors, okay? Addiction is sort of like an insanity. It's a mental disease. Okay? It makes you insane. You're willing to risk all the good things in your life for your addiction. Bill Wilson, the founder of the 12-step program, they asked him, how do you know a person has an addiction? You know what he said? It's not the things we do, okay, when we are drunk, you know, when we are high, you know, when we are in our addiction. It's not, oh, this person is isolating themselves, so, you know, this must be addicted. Oh, this person stole so that he could have more meth. That's not addiction, not sleeping, losing interest, neglecting relationship. I mean, you don't look at that and say, oh, that's addiction. Okay? But what he says is this. Okay? How do you know you have an addiction? Say you're doing well. Okay? You stopped your addiction. Things are going well. You got a job now. Okay? People around you start to believe in you again. You're getting stronger. You're getting healthier. You're getting your life in order. You're getting closer to God. But there's something in the back of your mind, you say to yourself, one more drink. One more hit. Just this once. justice wants. You're getting your life in order, and you think one more time, and you're ignoring the risk factor. You're willing to risk all the progress. You risk all the good things that's going on in your life for that addiction. That's how you could tell you have an addiction. In order to overcome addiction, that's why it's important. If you want to do, you want to play the guitar well, practice a lot. Good, you know, hard work. But for addiction, to overcome addiction, you need to accept your powerlessness over the addiction. Not you need to work harder, you know, beat yourself up a lot. I don't know anybody who beats themselves up like, I'm the worst, I'm terrible, I'm junk, I'm garbage. Because of that, I overcame addiction. You go deeper in addiction with that kind of mentality. Blaming yourself, blaming other people. No, you need to acknowledge we are powerless over that addiction, that alcohol, that drug, that sexual sin, that food has power over me. What? It is making my life unmanageable. And you got to get to that place. I don't know, you know, again, what's going on, the detail. But I want the Holy Spirit to point something out. He's been pointing out an area of your life. Listen to him. And he's saying, this will bring death. This will destroy your life. And when the Holy Spirit says this to you, you need to say, agree with the Holy Spirit. Yes, God. I am powerless over this. I want to just give you like a moment to do that. Can you do that? Even with smartphone, you know, you get stressed when you don't, you left it at home. It's not with you 24 hours a day. We gave it too much power. But what we need to do is take back that power. Okay. Amen. And number three. Okay. We need God's help. Say that to your neighbor. When it comes to addiction, okay, again, good grades, self-reliance is, you're able to do it, but not with addiction. When it comes to addiction, self-reliance, self-confidence is not good enough. It's not good enough. You can't manage your addiction. Willpower is not enough. It's like, this is the illustration that I heard, I know, but it makes sense to me. But I'm sorry that I'm going to share this illustration with you. How many of you ever had diarrhea? Can you hold that diarrhea through willpower alone? That's the question I ask. Willpower! I have strong willpower. Doesn't matter how strong your willpower. Eventually, diarrhea will win. It will win. Willpower is not enough. That's what addiction is. It's not enough. Addiction is like going down that same street, you know, and this street has this big thug that beats you up every time you go down that street. And you go down that street again and again and again. And each time you go down that same street, you think, today is going to be different. You're being self-delusional. It's going to be different. That's self-delusional. Right? You need to admit that you're powerless. That thug is stronger than you. Okay? Once you admit that thug is stronger than you, you're powerless over your addiction. When you admit you are powerless, you're willing to take another street. After you admit that, now you go, you know, that's, I'm going to get beat up. I'm powerless there, going down that street. And so now you're open to go a different street. Yeah? A different street. Willing to take another street. And this street that you need to take is God. You need God's help. And, you know, even though 12-step program is very secular, it's secular now, that's what they say. You need God's help. Right? You need God's help. Something greater than you. Right? And for Christian, oh, we have Jesus. Come on, Jesus. All-knowing, all-powerful. Right? We have Jesus with us who loves us unconditionally. We have the Holy Spirit in us. We have the Father who unconditionally loves us. The Son who died on the cross for us. Paid the penalty for our sin. Who gave us new life. So you're this TV, right? To overcome the addiction, that TV is useless. I don't care how great this TV is. How thin it is, and how clear and you know it is, and how high definition it is, unless it's plugged to the energy source, it's useless. Okay? We need to plug to the right power. And that's God, Jesus Christ. You know, you have pain, you have shame, and rejection, abandonment, neglect, lost, abuse, and this wound, what it does is it causes a hole in our heart. And many of us, what we first do is try to fill that hole with money, material things, maybe entertainment. We perform, you know, maybe we think it's achievement that will fill that hole. And it's not enough. And you still feel the pain. You still feel the anxiety, the shame, the wounds. So you try to numb yourself with things that will comfort you, but that will make you powerless. Okay? That will sap the power out of you. That's addiction. Okay? That's addiction. Things become an addiction. The things that becomes an addiction, you will lose more sense of yourself. You'll become more desperate, greater bondage, greater emptiness. Okay? You cannot manage addiction. Okay? You need God's help. Okay? Say to your neighbor, I need God's help. Not by might, but by willpower, but by your spirit, says the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if anyone is in Christ, anyone, right? This is anyone, okay? Whoever's in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here, okay? The new is here. God is so powerful. He is a creative God. You know, the Bible says God formed man, human being, from the dust of the ground. I misinterpreted that before. I used to think from mud. So I said, God reached down to the ground from mud. He created us. And, you know, but the Bible doesn't say mud. It says dust. You know, when I was in Africa, with mud, you could do things with mud. You could build a hut with mud. Okay? But dust, even in Africa, is useless. Okay? Dust comes into the hut. They sweep it out. You can't do anything with dust. Dust is totally useless. It's bothersome. Okay? It's dirty. It's just, you know, that's dust, right? somebody come up with something you could do with dust. Please let me know. It's like mosquitoes. What can you do? Anyway, from dust. But God, the Bible, what the Bible says about God, God created beauty, life, and a soul in his image with dust. God can do that. God is God because he uses broken people. He uses broken people. If God was Asian, no way, you know? I only could use perfect people with straight A's that went to Harvard, you know? No. Anyone can use perfect people. Well, what makes God God, God is happy to use broken people. God is able to work through our weakness. God is not intimidated with our addictions. He's not intimidated. God moved in supernatural power in hopeless situation, in painful situation, when we are weak, when we are lost, we're in bondage. God is not just with you when you're strong, when you are holy, and when you're successful. God is with you when you are weak, empty, and in pain, when you're wounded, when you're shamed, when you're powerless, when you cannot manage your life. That's what addiction is. God is not just with you when others are happy, when there's great worship and inspiring message. God is with you when you are all alone, when your heart is broken, when you're hurting. This is the time God will do the greatest miracle in you. Greatest miracle. Addiction is the greatest bondage. But in the greatest bondage, God is able to do the greatest work. God's going to heal you, set you free, and give you new life. Romans chapter 8, verse 28 says this. And we know that in all things God worked for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Okay, say, shout out, I love Jesus. Yeah? Okay? So because you love him, says all things, God will work for the good of those who love him. God can take all the bad in your life and work for the good. This is God that we believe in. And the illustration I used before, is a Rick Warren illustration in cooking. When you bake a cake, individual ingredient you can't eat alone. Right? How many of you could eat just flours, that bag of flours, I don't know how many cups you need, like 2 cups of flour. Can you eat that 2 cups of flour? No, nobody wants to eat that 2 cups of flour. How many of you can eat, maybe some here, but not many. 4 raw eggs. Can you just eat that? 4, I can't, but can somebody would like to do that? Okay? What about 2 tablespoons of salt? What about a cup of sugar? Just sugar. I don't mean a little pinch of sugar. A cup. Half a cup of sugar. Well, a whole stick of butter. And that's what you got to do for a good cake. Right? A whole stick of butter. It's not good. And there are a lot of things that's not good in our life, individual alone. There are many things that's not good in our life. But God is the great chef. He could put all those things together. And he could do this. He could put it all together and make something so delicious and so and beautiful and good. Right? God's able to do that. And this is what God is able to do with your addiction. Amen? Okay, let's pray.